Good morning, everyone. We've been looking at the letter, Paul's letter to the Galatians, and he's been telling the Galatian churches that because of Jesus Christ, the entry marker to become the people of God is actually just faith in Jesus Christ. And he's speaking into a situation where a bunch of Jewish teachers have come into the church that have said yes to Jesus, but they've also wanted to say, but you also have to continue to, you have to get yourselves circumcised and you have to live under Torah. And so Paul's wanting to say, no, that's not what we're on about. Christ alone is sufficient. And we've kind of been working through this sustained argument around that, all right? So there might be a little bit of repetition this morning. But that's just because Paul seems to be wanting to really drive home the point. Let's pray and then let's get stuck into Galatians chapter 5. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us in Scripture. And I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and speech this morning. And I pray that I would teach the word of God accurately and well. And I pray for each one of us here that you'd speak into our lives whatever it is you need to say to us so that we might know you more and be more faithfully a people of God who honour you and honour your Son. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tom Wright is an English theologian, and he tells this story of being, for a while, based in a place called Montreal. I think it's in Canada, right? And it was totally freezing there. And he was basing himself temporarily in a university, and he had to commute. And the place where he lived was across the lake from where he had to get to each morning. And there was a single bridge that they had to line up for. And it was quite bad traffic. But as the winter came, the lake froze over. And actually, it was so cold in Montreal, I've never been there, but apparently it's very cold, that the ice would go down to a real depth, like a real depth. And to his great surprise, one morning he rocked up to the bridge to line up and he saw cars starting to drive across the lake. And he was like, wow, like that's crazy. And then as winter wore on, more and more cars were skipping the bridge and just driving right across the lake. And then later, as spring approached, what they did was they took an old car, it was the same car every year, a little car, and they'd drive it right out into the middle of the lake. And if it started to fall, they would know it's time to stop. Isn't that strange? Different way to live. Well, Paul is wanting to say in Galatians 5:1-7 that in Christ, spring had came and the ice was melting on the law and Torah, and that this was being superseded by faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus was what it meant to be God's people. It was the one way to get into God's family. And there wasn't anything that needed to be added to faith in Jesus, because Jesus is the faithful Son. And so Paul's wanting to say in Galatians 5:1-6, having been set free, live free. Having been set free, live free. Now, if you're someone who likes an outline, there is some over there on the side table and up the back. Just some outlines and some questions if you have a need for that. So if you're following along in your Bible, turn to Galatians 5:1-6, and that is what we'll be looking at. Well, Paul has finished, I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Hagar and Sarah, the slave woman and the free woman. And Paul has just said that Christians, those who belong to Jesus, are children of the free woman. And Paul now applies this truth to the Galatians. And he says to them, having been set free, it's important that you stand firm in your freedom. That you stand firm in your freedom. What does that mean? Well, for Paul, the Messiah had come. Jesus had come. And he was the perfectly faithful Son. He lived a life that pleased God in every way. He died a death that atoned for human sin. He rose again and was vindicated by the Father in resurrection, which was the Father's way of stamping his sign of authenticity on the Son that, yes, indeed, this is the Messiah that was to come. And Paul is saying, because of that, the means by which we are called children of God is faith in the faithful Son of God. And so Paul says to these Galatian Christians that are predominantly Gentile, you don't have to become Jews to become the people of God. You just have to have faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. And I want to say that to anyone here this morning. Maybe you've got a rock-solid past that you're quite proud of, or maybe you've got a life that you're quite disappointed in. Maybe as you came to church, you weren't sure if you were enough. Well, the message of the gospel is that we are all not enough, but Jesus is enough. And when we put our faith into Christ Jesus, we are made new. We are children of the living God. And it's important for Paul that the Galatians and us that we stand firm in the freedom that the gospel brings. And Paul then goes on to say, don't let yourselves be alienated from Christ. You see, our acceptance by the Father, our welcome into the family of God, our being the people of God is dependent on us connecting to the Son of God. You know that saying that we have, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Well, it's who you know when it comes to being in God's kingdom, and the who of who you know is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says there is a way to be alienated from Jesus Christ. There is a way to do that. You wouldn't want to do that, but there is a way for that to happen. And he says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Christ will be of no value to you at all. And so these Judaizers are coming into Galatia and they're saying, yes, yes to Jesus, but you must get done as well. If you're going to truly be one of the people of God, you must get done. And Paul says, if you let yourself do that, then you're saying that Christ is not enough and you'll be alienated from him. And so for him, this is a really important issue. Can you see the weight of what he's saying? This isn't some peripheral kind of issue. This is right at the heart of the gospel. This notion that faith in Jesus is enough to belong to the people of God is right at the heart of the gospel. And so he says, don't let yourselves be alienated by Christ by going down this law track that you seem to be bent on pursuing. He then goes, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. So another reason why Paul is saying to the Galatian Christians, hey, don't go down this track, is because if they were to do so, they would have to obey not just this idea of being circumcised to be included in God's family, but the whole of the law. And you know, if anyone knew what that looked like, it was Paul. Because who was Paul before he became Paul? He was Saul, the Pharisee. And his whole life was about living Torah. His whole life was defined about seeking justification through and by obedience to the law. And he says here, if you go down this track, it won't end here. It won't end here. So stand firm on your freedom. He then says, for those who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So if we seek to be justified in our own strength, if these Galatian believers seek to be justified through the law, Paul says they're cutting themselves off from Jesus. They're alienating themselves from him and his righteousness. They are falling away from grace. You see, salvation being part of God's kingdom people is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is always true. That is always true. By grace through faith in the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and he says this, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about the fact that if they stay the course, if they continue to lean into faith in Jesus as the basis of their salvation, then in the future, when Christ returns, there will be over their lives a declaration of being right before God because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul says, wait for the hope of being declared righteous. That's good news, isn't it? You know, if we start to get on the treadmill of spiritual performance and think to ourselves that God relates to us on the basis of our righteousness, we will find ourselves going up and down and becoming despondent and discouraged. But Paul says, no, look forward in hope for the day when, through faith in the Messiah, God declares over you, you are right before me. That's good news, isn't it? Do you know how he makes that declaration? Through resurrection. Through resurrection and welcome into God's kingdom. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value at all. The only thing that counts, listen to this, this is really important. The only thing that counts is faith working itself out in love. You know, when Jesus came and walked the earth, he had a faithfulness to the Father, didn't he? We're told in the Gospels that he only ever did what the Father told him to do. Do you remember that? He only ever did what the Father taught him to do. Well, how did Jesus operate and live? Well, he lived in such a way that was characterized by faith in the Father working itself out in love. So who was Jesus? He's the one who ministered to the leper by touching the untouchable and making them whole. Who was Jesus? He's the one that ministered to the blind person, opening their eyes. Who was Jesus? He's the one that raised up the dead and brought them back to life. Who was Jesus? He's the one that went to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus had such an experience of salvation and grace that Jesus had poured out on him that he was a new man. Faith working itself out in love. What's the primary way that this found expression in the life of the Son? Well, the primary way is in the last kind of week of his life, isn't it? When he's washing his disciples' feet and saying to them, you know what leading in the kingdom looks like? Well, it looks like this. You become a servant and you love those God has called you to minister to. It looks like Jesus bowing down in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking about the imminence of the cross and saying to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. Faith working itself out in love. And Paul is saying, whatever it is that you think should mark your identity as those who are God's children, part of God's family, God's people, God's community, I want this one thing to define you. Faith working itself out in love. That's your identity marker, not these other things. Are you with me? All right. So a week and a bit ago, I went to the Pearl Jam concert, and it was awesome. I know Val's a big fan of Pearl Jam. Yeah.
She likes strawberry jam.
Yeah, she probably does. Yeah. Well, when I went to the Pearl Jam concert back in the 90s, so this is a band that were big in the 90s, right, when I was in my kind of 20s, and there was a definite uniform when you went to a Pearl Jam concert. It involved Doc Martens, It involved like cargo pants shorts. It involved flannelette shirts with maybe undone with a black t-shirt underneath. There was identity markers. Well, you know, it's been a long time since the 90s. And I rock up to this concert and I'm wondering if I'll see those things. And instead, I see people like me. They're a lot older. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, once we get in there, I wonder if they'll go crazy like they used to. And the answer was profoundly no. Everyone just stood there and watched. You know, so all these identity markers that used to define this community no longer define them. Do you know what did define us, though, and unite us in that moment? When the first song came on, everyone burst into the words, you know. Suddenly we were all united around this one thing. Well, Paul says what we're to be united around is this one thing of faith working itself out in love. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian person, to be part of the community of faith, that is the defining feature. Faith working itself out in love. And so I just want to encourage us to think about keeping that main thing, the main thing. That's the t-shirt we wear. Who are we? We're the people who, because we've experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus, are bent on loving the people around us. We're bent on that faith becoming expression through our actions of self-effacing love. What did Jesus say? He said, they will know you are Christians by your love. Love. And so one of the key questions that I want us to think about this morning is, how can that live in us? Well, you might then think, well, maybe Paul's sneaking a kind of works through the back door. Like he said, you know, it's all about faith in Jesus, and now you're telling me it's all about love. Well, what the difference is, I think, is that that faith in Jesus means that we are given the Spirit of Jesus, and the Spirit of Jesus is the lifeblood of Jesus living in and through us. And so now, no longer are we doing things in our own strength, but through faith in the Son, He can empower us and enable us to love like He loves. Why? Because through His Spirit, His DNA lives in us. Does that make sense? So let's not become enslaved to law and legalism. Let's be the kinds of people instead whose faith finds expression in self-effacing love. Are you with me? All right, let's think now about verses 7 to 12 where Paul says, stand firm. Standing firm means resisting Jesus plus anything. Standing firm, does that make sense? Standing firm means resisting Jesus plus anything. Our boast is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? So what Paul is saying here, that when he got to the Galatians and started preaching the gospel to them, they received the gospel as the good news that it was. And they believed that Jesus was the basis of their salvation and their inclusion among God's people. And they responded rightly to the good news of the gospel. They were running a good race. But then something happened. Someone cut in on them. I was watching a reel yesterday and it was this sprint and you saw the racers all head out and suddenly a little boy just walked onto the track and it was this terrible collision. The guy who came first just ran into this boy, fell, someone cut in on him and it ruined his race and the poor kid as well. But Paul's saying here to the Galatians, you responded so well, so beautifully to the gospel. And then when these teachers came saying yes to Jesus, but yes also to the law, they cut in on you. And you listened to them. And you started to heed them. They kept you from obeying the truth. The truth was that faith in Christ was enough. He says that this kind of persuasion, the kind of persuasion that these false teachers were bringing, does not come from the one who calls you. It doesn't come from God, this teaching that they're receiving, this teaching that threatened to lead them astray. And Paul says, this little idiom, he says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. And what he was saying to them is, if you capitulate on this, it won't just be you, it'll be those around you. Who knows where this thing might spread? And so he's encouraging them to return to the good race that they were running. You know, verse 10 takes a sharp turn, because I don't know about you, but to this point in the letter, Paul's been pretty stern on them. And I think to this point in the letter, it's felt like they could capitulate at any time and get circumcised and walk away from the gospel that he's teaching. But look what he says in verse 10. He says this, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will pay a penalty. What does Paul mean by this? I am confident. He hasn't kind of displayed that confidence up until this point that they would turn back to him. But now he says, I am confident in the Lord. What does that phrase mean? Well, I think it means something like this, that as Paul has sought to persuade them, as he's prayed for them, he's got a sense that ultimately, like a subjective sense from God, that ultimately they would hold firm and fast to the gospel. And he says, I am confident in the Lord Jesus that you will take no other view. And it seems that behind this false teaching is perhaps one or a community of false teachers. And Paul says that he believes that they will be judged, that they will pay some kind of penalty. Whether that's at the end of time, having wandered off into this false teaching, that they would forsake Christ and therefore forsake salvation. Or maybe it was more imminent that they would be cast out of that community because of their false teaching. Paul anticipates that their false teaching would come with a price. Then he says, brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. It's a weird kind of thing. Paul seems to be being accused of himself preaching circumcision. And that seems like a strange turn again, doesn't it? It seems like his opponents are saying that you at one time preached this. That's kind of an interesting kind of thing for them to say. And Paul denies it emphatically. He denies it emphatically. Where does this come from? I don't know if you have your Bible there. You could turn to Acts chapter 16, and there's this weird thing that happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 16. Paul is going on a missionary trip with his offsider named Timothy. And Timothy, I think he has a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And he's not been circumcised. He's a Christian. He's a companion of Paul. He's not been circumcised. And Paul instructs him, go and get circumcised. And it's kind of really weird. Like, why are you saying this, Paul? Especially in Galatians, you seem so emphatic about not doing that and not giving into that. So why is he doing it there? Well, I want to say that although that sounds a bit inconsistent, it's actually very consistent with who Paul is. Because Paul is someone who believes that the message of salvation in Jesus is so important. It's so important that what you should do is you should move away every single barrier another person has to faith. And as Paul is working alongside Timothy and they're going to areas in which Judaism was a stronghold, he wants to say to Timothy, we want open doors and lots of opportunities, mate. So go and do what needs to be done so that we can get about our mission. Does that make sense? But here, when he's preaching among the Galatians and saying to them, no, you don't have to get circumcised. Faith in Jesus is enough. He's again taking away barriers and he's just holding fast to this notion, to this idea that faith in Christ is what matters most. I guess, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about here, but in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Here's the principle. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself are not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Here it is. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means possible, I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. So what Paul is saying and why he seems flexible on this is because to him, the most important thing is that people encounter Jesus. No matter what their cultural context, and he's willing to put aside those things in order that people can have a direct encounter with the good news of the gospel. That through faith in Jesus, people can be included into God's family. Paul doesn't want to abolish the offense of the cross. He's very keen to hold on to the cross as the basis of faith in Christ. He's willing to do that even if it means persecution for him, which it does. And so he's proclaiming Christ and salvation through him. Now the last sentence is pretty straight, isn't it? Verse 12, "As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." Now, I don't know if it gets stronger than that. Does it? And so Paul is being really emphatic. He's being really emphatic. To him, this is a massive thing. A massive thing. Faith in Christ is the basis of salvation. And these people, by insisting that people become Jews in order to become children of God, are obstructing the good news of the gospel. And you know, Paul, this is not the only place where Paul is strong on this. In Philippians 3, 1-3, this is what he says of those same group of people. He says, they are dogs, flesh mutilators, and evildoers. That's pretty direct language, isn't it? It's pretty direct language. For Paul, you see, it's really important that people hold on to the gospel as central to salvation, central to inclusion, and they add nothing. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go rock climbing. I have an aversion to heights. So when I'm, you know, having to climb something or be on a rock face, that makes me all very nervous. Right? It's not something I love. From time to time, because of youth group or I've been invited, I've done such things, but I don't feel comfortable in that space. But you know, I can watch someone do that and think it's amazing. You know, like someone just spiral up a wall using the right balance of legs and arms so they don't exhaust their arms, using their legs as much as they can and getting up the wall. But it looks like hard work, and I think it might actually be hard work, right? But what doesn't seem like hard work is when they get to the top, you know, and they say, "I'm coming down." And a good climber will just kind of lean back and be totally relaxed and just let themselves be belayed down. Because I'm scared of heights, whenever I've got to that point and I've communicated like 12 times with the person below, like, "Make sure you've got me," I find it real hard just to relax and just lean into that rope. Does anyone find that hard? I actually find myself clinging to the rope, which makes it much more awkward, and you hit the, you know, your face can hit the rope. You've got to lean back into that freedom and just glide down. Well, the gospel is a message that tells us we're to lean into Christ for the basis of our salvation. Not trying to cling and make it work by our own righteousness, but accepting the righteousness that we have in Him and being free to live in the liberty of the gospel. That's the good news. Faith in Christ is enough. So let's be a people, a community of people, defined by our faith in Jesus that works itself out in love. Amen? All right, let's pray and then we'll go into a time of communion. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we praise you for the righteousness of Jesus. We thank you for his broken body and his shed blood. We thank you for what it means for us as we have faith. I pray that everyone here would know the liberty and the life-giving power of the righteous life of King Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to live lives of love. We pray this in the precious name of your Son. Amen.